and were singing around the campfires even though it had snowed. Morale was up. We were finding enough to eat. We had halfway decent shelter. The enemy was making no attempt to discomfort us. Lead elements of the main force were in the province and scattering in a wide arc around Kialune, settling in to await the final phase of the campaign. But even when the mob is sitting around, playing tonk, somebody has to do something to keep things moving. The old man reached into his trick bag and pulled the straw with my name on it. I think he rigged the draw. I got the job of taking a patrol north to meet a quartermaster crew inbound to begin surveys for camp layouts once we got serious about besieging Overlook. They were bringing in some prisoners Lady thought the captain would find interesting. Three times outbound, we had brushes with partisans. We had another coming back. The tension was draining. I was exhausted. Still not 100% despite his protests to the contrary, Tyday was used up too. "Message from your honey," I told the old man, tossing him a leather packet that was heavy enough to have a couple bricks inside. "Cleet and his brothers are with this bunch. They're already talking about building a ramp to get over Overlook's wall."
"Fat chance. You all right?"
"Dead tired. We ran into partisans again." Mugabe's changing his style. He gave me a hard look but told me, "Get some rest. The guys have found a house I want you to look over tomorrow. You might grab Cleet and them and have them tell you how much work the place needs." I grunted. I had a nice place now, dug out of the side of a hill, a real blanket hanging in front to keep out the wind and contain the warmth of my fire. Our fire. My brother-in-law holed up there with me. We were turning the place into a manor house in our spare time, compared to anything we'd had since leaving Dejigore. Between us, we'd just about enough energy left to grunt at one another over some hard bread while we got the fire built up, then collapsed into piles of rags we'd harvested from the ruins of Kialune. I fell asleep, wondering how bad the gorilla problem could get. This time of year, we could starve them into submission simply by keeping a lot of foragers out. But if they survived the winter, we would have big trouble with them in the spring, when we would have to plant our own crops, then would have to work and protect them through the harvest. I didn't worry about it long. Sleep jumped up and grabbed me, and the dreams were waiting for me. This time, it started with a dead waste, the expanse of corpses and bones, but it wasn't quite the nightland it had been before. The stench was absent. The corpses looked like corpses in paintings, pale with little blood showing. There was none of the corruption that finds us after we've lain in the sun for a few days. There were no flies, no maggots, no ants, no scavengers tearing at the bodies. This time, some of the corpses opened their eyes as I passed. A few looked vaguely like people I knew long ago. My grandmother, an uncle I'd liked, childhood friends and a couple friends from early days in the company, now long dead. Most of those seemed to smile at me. Then I encountered the face that I should have expected, the one the whole series of dreams must have been choreographed to throw at me. Yes, I should have expected it, but it did take me completely by surprise.
"Sara!"
"Merkin." Her response was no more than the stir of a faint breeze. A ghost's whisper, as you would expect. As I would expect anyway, being naive about such things. I saw the trap instantly. Kina was going to offer me back my dead. What she'd taken away, she would